Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. And as always, we appreciate you listening. We don't take you for granted. And joining me to co-host the program today is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Can we hear him?
Hello?
There we are. You there?
Hey, yeah. Good morning,
guys. He was playing games with us. He was seeing if we were paying attention.
I can hear you guys great. So good. Good. Here we are.
Can you hear me in the back?
Yes, exactly.
Can you hear me now? Right.
Is this thing on? All right. That other voice was Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And Wesley, tell us what your responsibilities are today on this program.
My responsibilities is to just show up, be present, and just try to make it until Walker gets back. I'm just in survival mode.
That doesn't inspire me at all. It doesn't give Ray or Fred and I a lot of confidence in what you're going to be doing today.
Especially since we're going to be on the radio program for another
hour. So what do we get? What do you got going on here?
Today's Issues Facebook page. Go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and there will be live streaming radio programs, and then also any content that we talk about today will be posting there on the radio program. And I'll stay in touch, read a couple comments from you. So get on there, make some comments on what we're talking about today. We'd love to hear from what you're talking about, and we'll share those on the radio program.
That's our Today's Issues Facebook page. Fred Jackson's with us. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, good morning.
News director for AFR and OneNewsNow.com.
I have got some wonderful news this morning.
Let me know. What is it?
Let's start off with some positive news today.
All right.
All right. You may remember, and I'm sure our audience remembers, those undercover videos that showed what's going on with Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts.
Yes.
In the wake of those videos being released, the Attorney General of California charged David DeLighten and his associate, those are the people who did the undercover video, with 15 charges. They were ridiculous. They filed illegally recording supposedly private conversations in restaurants, hotel lobbies, first ever filed against any undercover journalist. It was ridiculous. Now, the Attorney General of California happens to be a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. Everybody knew this was pure politics. It had nothing to do with the law. And if these charges held, then TV stations, networks across the country couldn't do what David DeLighten did.
Say goodbye to 60 Minutes.
Exactly. Right. Anyway, yesterday, the Supreme Court, Superior Court there in San Francisco said, 14 of the 15 charges gone, and likely the 15th charge will be gone also. So a major victory for this pro-life warrior, David DeLighten.
And for free speech.
But it was, as I say, everybody knew it was politically motivated by this pro-Planned Parenthood Attorney General of California.
Shouldn't be able to get away with that. There should be some kind of penalty for somebody using their office and abusing their power.
To go,
that's what this fella did, this Attorney General of California, but he lost. Mm-hmm. Even as liberal as California is, they said, you can't do this.
They understood the precedent it would set.
Right.
Police.
Right. Ray, you know, 60 Minutes, 2020, there's a lot of these television programs, news programs, use undercover reporting.
Well, that's how 60 Minutes has gotten their greatest stories over the years, and the same with 2020. They go undercover. There's a long, long tradition of that in American journalism. And for once, despite it being California and a liberal region of the country, for once we've got a judge out there who ruled in favor of the First Amendment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is a good news story, Fred, to start out with. And Walker, are you going to put that up there?
Yeah.
Fred, give you that on our Today's Issues Facebook page, okay?
Yeah, there's a link to our good friends there at Life News.
They did, so, you know, we just need to remember they did such great work. That's 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago. Those what was the name of the group who did
David DeLighten and associates.
Yeah, they went undercover. They taped. You know what? Like they were taping somebody. You know, a personal situation. This was a business situation involving Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. and it exposed them for what they were doing, and that was selling body parts of babies that they aborted.
Remember and one
is
of those?
That part not illegal?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know what it, what will. There was an investigative committee, Ray, in the House of Representatives. I know our good friend Marshall Blackburn, the congresswoman from Tennessee, headed that up. So, but I don't know if there were any criminal charges brought.
Here was the excuse that Planned Parenthood got away with. They didn't make any profits from the sale of
right.
those body parts.
Right.
That's what got them out of this. They claim they didn't make any money from it.
But they still sold they body still, parts. Right?
Sure. Exactly. Sure, that's exactly what they're doing, trafficking
body parts. If you don't have
parts.
Anything to hide... Then right. it wouldn't make a difference if you recorded, if you knew about it or not knew it,
That's
or not
right.
knew about it.
The despicable part, you remember some of these videos, this woman, who, and there's a conversation in a restaurant where she was kind of laughing about, you know, selling the body parts so I can get a new car and all of this sort of, it was just despicable is
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be defunded very soon by the, in you know, I say defunded Planned Parenthood. No more tax dollar money to Planned Parenthood. That's what AFA is working on very diligently mm-hmm. with Susan B. Anthony and other pro-life groups. And that's
wouldn't you say, Tim, we're probably as close to that as we've ever been. I mean, it's
yes.
still a long way to go, but it seemed hopeless for so many years. And now at least we've got an administration in the White House. And I think mm-hmm. President Trump is, if the Congress has the courage, I think he'll mm-hmm. go along with it.
Yeah, and we're going to find out pretty soon mm-hmm. because the language to defund Planned Parenthood should be included in the Senate health care bill that's supposed to come out today.
Today at noontime central, the Senate that's been working behind closed doors, you heard that story this week, on putting together their version of a new health care bill for the country. It's supposed to come out. We're hearing reports indicate there is language in there to defund Planned Parenthood. Now, how strong that language is, remember the House version, defund for a year. That was the language in the House version. So we're going to have to see what the Senate says. But there are reports, people, you know, anonymous sources who apparently have copies of this saying they say.
Anonymous of anonymous.
Yeah. There is apparently language in there that talks about defunding Planned Parenthood,
yeah.
but we want to read it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll keep folks posted. Go ahead.
How soon, Fred, are they going to? If they unveil it today, how soon would they bring it up for a vote?
Well, it's going to take some time because you're going to have the debate because there was a select group that was involved in writing this version of the Senate. And then even if the Senate passes it, they have to go to conference on this with the House bill and work out the differences.
Yeah, and then it would have to go. Yes, that's true. And mm-hmm. now, I know it gets complicated, folks, to understand the difference between a regular – between regular legislation and what's so-called, not so-called, what is called, what is known as reconciliation. Reconciliation means you only have to have 51 votes in the Senate mm-hmm. or a majority. If you have regular legislation, you would have to have more than that, 60, because the Democrats would filibuster. So, but you've got to hold a couple of the liberal Republicans. So that's what they're hoping to do. Yeah, with this, or if they don't put the pro-life provisions in there, they'll have to. Well, they'll have to because they'll lose.
Yeah.
The pro-life senators mm-hmm. and the and
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, and others. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be. But I tell you one thing. Right now, if this doesn't defund Planned Parenthood, we're opposed.
Yeah.
Because it's now or it's time to do that. Now you have a pro-life House, you have a pro-life Senate, you have a pro-life president. It's time to
probably the one of the most pro-life vice presidents of all time, and
Mike Pence.
Also, want to read a comment here, Billy Lee Blankshill. I don't understand why taxpayers were ever funding Planned Parenthood. I don't remember voting on that. Got a comment on that?
Well, here again, it's semantics, and there was a congressman by the name of Henry Hyde. 20, 30 years ago. He was from Illinois. He was very pro-life. He introduced what's known even to this day as the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment says explicitly that no federal tax dollars shall go to fund abortion. So that's been the law of the land, and really uncontested by either side, by the Democrats even, until recently. But that's been the law of the land, I'm saying, for 30 years or so. Now, Planned Parenthood is an organization that they separate their books, okay, so that they do abortions, but they separate their books to say, we don't use the money that the government gives us for abortions. We only use it for other healthcare services for women. You following me?
Uh-huh.
So what's been a bone of contention with pro-life groups over the years is this is just a bookkeeping trick, all right, that Planned Parenthood uses to keep getting the $500 million of federal tax dollars, even though they're doing abortions, which in spirit violates the Hyde Amendment.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what's been going on all these years. Well, now, since the exposure of what Planned Parenthood does to the videos that you, Fred, talked about earlier, there's just nowhere for Planned Parenthood to hide any longer. The president said in his debate with Hillary Clinton, the third debate, that he was for defunding Planned Parenthood as long as they did abortions.
That's right.
He talked about the gruesome nature of the late-term abortions that go on in Planned Parenthood clinics. So anyway, now's the time. And if there's any funny business that goes on here with defunding Planned Parenthood by the Republicans, we're going to let you know about it.
Absolutely.
Because we all know, the Democrats, they'll just tell you straight up.
Yeah.
They'll just tell you straight up, we're for baby killing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't call it that, but they don't. That's what it, you can tell them, you're dismembering. You can show them a video. Most Democrats, I should say. You can show them a video of a baby being dismembered at 9 months in the womb, you know, partial birth abortion, and they're going to say, I don't care.
Not bad enough.
I don't care, you know. That doesn't bother me. Ray, go ahead.
Well, here's the bottom line, that the great majority of people in America, whether Democrat or Republican, when those videos came out, people were repulsed. Mm-hmm. They were revolted. And, of course, that's why there was such a hue and cry against the guys who made those videos, because for once, the truth about Planned Parenthood finally got out. Now, I'm wondering, if the budget that, or if what's revealed today doesn't defund Planned Parenthood, could it still be put back in later when they go to conference with the House?
Yes.
I've just been passed a note here from our Steve Jordahl, who's monitoring what's going on in Washington this hour. He says the bill is out, the Senate bill is out, and abortion defunded. So apparently there is language in the Senate bill.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can this is what every Democrat, with the exception of maybe one or two, is going to demand that abortion be included, that Planned Parenthood be funded. Yeah. They're going to make a big deal out of that. So,
and you pointed to this a few moments ago. Unfortunately, there are some Republican senators like Susan Collins who believes Planned Parenthood should continue to be funded.
Yeah, I wonder if she would. Susan Collins from Maine, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if she's a liberal Republican.
Yes.
I would just wonder if she'd be willing to go to the mat, though, for that and go against her party. That'll be interesting to see. But you have 52 Republicans. Even if two of them don't vote for this, then you would only need Mike Pence, Vice President, to go and vote and cast the tie-breaking vote, which he's already had to do in one case.
Yep.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm watching on TV here, they're showing the Senate debate with Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, Ray. And, you know,
not happy, is he?
No, save everybody's time, honestly, if Chuck Schumer would just get up there and say, I just got a few things to say here, maybe even a couple sentences, and that is this, America. If President Trump is for it, we're against it. And
that's
so
right.
We're
save us all the time.
We're going to save all this time and trouble, and everybody getting up here talking and yada, yada, yada. That's a New York phrase he could use, isn't it?
Right.
You know, if President Trump's for it, we're against it, and y'all call us. Well, he wouldn't say y'all. He would say you guys. You guys call us whenever President Trump's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we'll vote. Then we might consider voting for something.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching the president last night that was a rousing speech last night that he gave in Iowa, and he commented, you know, not a single Democrat is going to vote for this plan, no matter what it is. What about guys like Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's a mm-hmm. fairly conservative Democrat? Is there a possibility that they could pick up a couple? I mean, those guys, mm-hmm. several of those conservatives did vote for, say, Neil Gorsuch when it came up to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility of peeling off a couple of conservative Democrats in red-leaning states?
Yeah, you mentioned Manchin there, and of course, Manchin was delighted with President mm-hmm. Trump's stand on coal for obvious reasons, you know, bringing back coal mining and opening up the coal mines again. And so as kind of a payback, I think, to Trump, there might be some willingness on Manchin's part and a few others that may be in coal country that are willing to go along with the Republican plan. But that's unfolding there. It's going to be interesting to see the Senate bill on this. One of the big things, of course, is to get rid of the mandate. In other words, by law, forcing people to have health insurance. There are not too many people in this country that are going to say that's a bad thing. It didn't work anyway.
Right.
You remember the assumption by President Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi was all these healthy young people out there are going to buy insurance. Well, guess what? These liberal, progressive millennials said, why would I want to buy insurance? I'm healthy right now. And by the way, you have inclusionaries in that bill that say, if I do get sick, I can just go out and get it because of the pre-existing condition clause.
So, I never understood that.
And so many crazy. Of them weren't even buying in because they were just taking the penalty.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was like a couple of $100 a year, the penalty. So I'll pay that. I'm not going to pay $600 a month for insurance.
You just pay the penalty.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, Ray, but Fred and Wesley, but I've never understood how. So you're telling me this is like me not having automobile insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have an accident this afternoon. It's my fault. So I say, well, I'm just going to call up the insurance company and get me some insurance.
Speed dial.
So I can cover this accident
right.
I just
exactly.
had. Is that
yeah,
what
right.
you
that's
can do?
That's what it was, yes.
That's
insane.
Right.
Well, what is State Farm going to do when you make that phone call?
Right. Oh, sir, you just had an accident. Now you want insurance? So
a little late.
You could do that with the
yes,
Obamacare?
Exactly. That's why young people, these millions of young people out there, you know, who in college and just starting out in their career said, mm-hmm. number one, I don't need the insurance. Right. And if I do, if I go to the doctor and I have something serious wrong with me, well, I'll just run over and pick up some insurance.
And that's why it's a bad thing.
You know, it's just crazy.
That was very astute, Wesley.
Yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Ray Pritchard, Fred Jackson, and Wesley Wildman. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. A lot of things happening in our world. This story out of Ray out of Detroit yesterday didn't get but just a few hours of attention. Where this Muslim jihadi attacked a Detroit police officer. Was it at the airport?
It was Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Right, Flint. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Ray, did you see this?
I sure did. And he evidently yelled out Allahu Akbar, mm-hmm. which, you know, came out today as he apparently, quote, said something in Arabic. So they don't even want to translate that because they know what that means. This was yet one more terrorist attack. And the news media does not want to deal with it in a truthful way.
Mm. Yeah, the guy is a dual citizen Canadian and from Tunisia. And I don't know what prompted him to walk into that little airport in that community in Michigan. And he decided to take a knife to one of the police officers at the airport there. Fortunately, the police officer is in serious condition, but he is going to survive. But you're exactly right, Ray. Witnesses say he called out that famous phrase now. And he was upset with all the people, he said, getting killed in places like Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, also don't forget that it is a teaching inside Islam that some that a lot of Muslims adhere to, evidently, as we see the terrorism that's taking place around the world, that you know, if you kill an infidel, then that guarantees you a place in heaven or paradise. So that would be motivation for some, especially as I mentioned before, young men, because it does involve going to paradise and, you know,
many virgins.
Many virgins, and it's a hedonistic place to go to.
Apparently this guy yesterday, one of the questions he asked as he was being led away, why didn't you kill me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he wanted, you have to die a martyr. Isn't that right, Ray?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So
he wanted to be killed.
Right, he wanted to be killed. Why didn't you kill me? So, mission not accomplished.
No. Right. Again, once again, the mainstream media in this country and in Europe certainly never ask the obvious question we were asking, which is easily answered. That is, why do these people do this? And you'll get to remember when the Chattanooga jihadi. Remember that 3 or 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Killed those guys at our military recruiting center there.
That's right.
Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI, like a few months later, came out and said, we just don't know the motivation.
Yeah.
We just don't know what inspired this guy to do this. We're still searching for clues. Of course, that was the Obama holder Lynch FBI, and well, James Comey was, I guess, in charge of it. But it was the politically correct FBI, which couldn't admit to the obvious. So, speaking of the FBI, you were telling us earlier this morning that Holder, something about, you were saying about going to Ferguson, Missouri.
Oh, yes. Today, a judge is going to get an update on the order that went out from then Attorney General Eric Holder in the wake of the riots in Ferguson. Everybody remembers those. The police officer who was charged was found not guilty of doing anything wrong.
Darren Wilson.
Yes,
Officer
exactly.
Wilson.
So, but Eric Holder was not satisfied with that, so they decided to punish the city of Ferguson anyway. They accused the city of Ferguson of having racist attitudes, the police force there, against many of the black folks who live in that community. So they set these orders out on what the police department in Ferguson had to do. Plus, they had to spend a whole lot of money. We're talking a couple of million dollars, as I recollect. And what has happened since then is that there have been large vacancies in the police department in Ferguson because nobody wants the job there anymore because of what they have to do, the second guessing of police officers. And this has grown beyond Ferguson, beyond Baltimore, all of those sorts of things. Well, today, a judge is going to hear from the city, and I guess people from the Attorney General's Department, on what the police force there has done to comply with these orders. So we're anxious to hear what's going on.
So they have a shortage of officers because no one wants to?
The last report was there was something like 10 or 12 openings on the Ferguson Police Department. And they can't fill them.
Of course, what happened there, was FBI under Eric Holder sent in 45 FBI agents to this little town.
Yeah.
It's a suburb of St. Louis. It's a little small community. I don't know how many. Mm-hmm. But relatively small police department. He sent 45 FBI agents in, and they were trying to get some dirt on Darren Wilson so that they could, charge him with civil rights violations or something like that. Never got anything.
Nope.
I'm not making that up. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was all politically motivated. We'll be back after this short timeout. Stay with us.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th. And we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. At Trinity College in Connecticut, Professor Johnny Eric Williams is causing outrage after he posted a series of Facebook and Twitter messages condemning white people, called them inhuman. He also shared a vile essay published on Medium.com. That essay suggested first responders to last week's congressional shootings should have let the lawmakers die. You can read more about that at toddstearns.com. Trinity College called the professor's postings reprehensible, but not, apparently, a fireable offense. The professor told a local newspaper the controversy is about free speech and academic freedom. No, it's not. It's about human decency. The outrage was so severe, Trinity College had to shut down over safety concerns. Violence is never an acceptable response to this sort of vile bigotry, and neither is letting someone bleed out on a baseball field just because he's a white man. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, I'm just going to have to start calling Todd Starnes Captain Ambiguity. Ambiguity. Ambiguous. However you say that word.
Third time. Yeah, you got it.
You know what I'm saying, people? I'm saying Todd, it just tells it like it is, or like Todd sees it. Anyway, if you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, and we're glad to air Todd Starnes' commentary during this hour. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman, Fred Jackson, and also co-hosting with me today, Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. When's your next trip, Ray?
Heading in about a week to Kentucky, speaking at a Bible conference at Camp Nathaniel in Emelina, Kentucky, over July 4th.
Where is that?
Well, that's in Hazard County. That's near Topmost and not too far from Pikeville, I think. It's in far eastern Kentucky, up in the hills.
Coal country?
Yeah, coal country. Oh, yeah.
How many humans have been there?
You know, that's there's more. There's
a lot
of coal.
Says the man from Mississippi.
That's
go ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I've been there a number of times to preach, and those are some of the. You know, those mountain folks. They take time to decide, but once they decide they like you, you're in. And I've been going there off and on for about the last 30 years preaching, and they're just some really good salt of the earth folks there. At
oh
Camp
yeah,
Nathaniel.
Absolutely. I'm not saying anything about the folks. I'm just saying the way you described it is almost is like. you can't get there from here. You know, and I just
that's pretty much right.
How many people inhabit that part of the world?
You cannot
there.
Fly into Emmalina, Kentucky.
You know, I've been like you, Ray, and I've been to a lot of places in the U.S. Probably been to 40 of the 50 states, maybe more. But I've never been to that east of Lexington.
East of there,
right. And
heading up into the mountains.
In the mountains. I've never been to that part of the country. I have to do that sometime.
Well, I know that we have a guest coming up, but before we do, I wanted to highlight some of the comments. You know, we've changed topics about three different times, but our people.
Topical whiplash.
Topical, right. But our people are serious about defunding Planned Parenthood. The discussion right. on Facebook is still on defunding Planned Parenthood and whatever we can do. So right. that's a hot button. Mm-hmm. And here at AFA, you know, with our resources, we're going to do all that we can mm-hmm. to see Planned
we
Parenthood.
We won't sleep till Planned Parenthood right. is defunded.
Yeah, so praise God for that.
They are an evil organization. Yeah. Abortion is an atrocity and a violation of God's law.
And you know, you were saying they get $500 million of taxpayers' money. That's your money, folks. You know how much they pay their CEO a year now?
Planned Parenthood?
No, Cecile Richards? $1 million a year.
Whoa.
Why do they need $500 million of taxpayers' money?
Yeah.
They can afford to pay her $1 million a year.
Right.
And then Planned Parenthood turns around and gives money, donations to the Democratic Party. Somebody was telling me the other day they donated to the Georgia campaign.
They did the special election.
Yep. It's incestuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost $750,000.
Yeah.
To try to elect John Ossoff.
Mm-hmm. Well, President Trump's against funding Planned Parenthood. Vice President Pence is against funding Planned Parenthood. Paul Ryan is against funding Planned Parenthood. Mitch McConnell says he's against funding Planned Parenthood. So this should be included in this health care bill.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do
just
it.
Do it. Just do it.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and comment on the topics we're talking about here. And Wesley's posting the original sources, the information that we use.
And I do not have a green shirt on today.
You do not? Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wesley wore a green shirt. And so today he decided to throw people off.
Yeah.
Not the same green shirt, right?
Right, not the same green shirt. I just want to make sure people are watching to see if anybody would comment on that, but nobody commented on that.
Green
you know?
Shirt.
All they cared about was Walker's new baby.
Yeah. Well, Walker will be back Monday, and he and his wife, Lexi, had a beautiful son earlier this week. Walker usually does Wesley's job here, and Luke is his name, and he's healthy and fine there at home, resting.
Over 9 pounds.
Well, I say resting. I use that term lightly when you got a newborn. But anyway, 9-pounder.
9 pounds, 21 inches, as I recollect.
Yeah, Nick Saban's already calling.
That's what I figured. He's been recruited already.
Been recruited already. 9.3. All
that's
right.
That's a big baby boy right there.
Yes. All right. So anyway, thank you for all those who commented and praying for Walker and the baby. Well, on a more serious note, or a different note, we should say, we want to welcome Jan Markell to our program. Jan's with us weekly. That it works out for us and for her to be on our program. Jan is with Olive Tree Ministries, and her program, radio program, Understanding the Times, is heard weekends here on American Family Radio and other places. Jan's area of expertise would be on Israel. And prophecy and those kinds of things. Jan joins us now from the Twin Cities area. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your radio show, the Arizona AFR.
Well, we've been on AFR, I believe, about 4 years. We try to look at the current events from a biblical perspective and try to help folks understand the times because it says in 1 Chronicles 12 that God was pleased with the sons of Issachar who understood the times. And so that's kind of what we try to do, Tim.
All right. Jan, tell us your thoughts on Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. Is he taking over the Middle East peace talks with Israel and the Palestinians?
Well, for now, it appears he has. And I think this is troubling, to say the least. This is a 36-year-old man with absolutely zero policy experience, Mideast policy experience, I mean, any kind of foreign policy. And I just think it's a little bit on the careless side. Now, my hope is that he's just kind of maybe an advanced man who is trying to sort of pave the way for another team who would come in. But here's the bottom line, I think, Tim, and that is that this is all an exercise in futility. I think the thing that makes this particular trip unique is not only the media, but even Donald Trump is calling this an effort to reach, quote, the ultimate deal. And I think we read about the ultimate deal in the book of Daniel, and that would be when the Antichrist makes a deal with Israel, a peace deal. We don't know that it has any relation to this, but it's certainly a type. The Antichrist will make a peace deal at some point in time. We don't know when, because he's not on the scene yet. But when we start talking about a deal that's, you know, the geography over there is so tiny, and yet that's the ultimate deal, I just found that to be very strange.
Yeah.
You saw where Jared Kushner, of course, I'm like you. Putting your son-in-law, and there's nothing wrong necessarily with a family member being involved in the cabinet,
no.
But and he's not a cabinet member, by the way, Jared Kushner. But to have him be involved in something that he has zero experience with, he is a Jew.
Yes.
But that doesn't qualify, you know, just because you're a Jew doesn't qualify you for expertise on Israel.
Hmm. Right.
And so we'll see what happens with that. Ray, does this bother you a little bit too?
You know, I think Jim makes a terrific point that it's unclear.
Right.
It's unclear what his qualifications are. It's unclear what he's doing over there. It's unclear what kind of deal could even be made. I would prefer if the president sent over a team, as Jan said, people who really understood the Middle East on a deeper level, because that's a Tim, as you know, you've been there many times.
Yeah.
There's the cross currents of politics, culture, and history. They all come to a collision there. You make one mistake in your negotiations, you could have disaster.
Maybe he's just, Jim, maybe as you're saying, he's just, Jared Kushner's just sort of a diplomat here, I'm assuming, and he will report back to the president and the vice president on any progress.
I hope that's true, Tim. I hope that's kind of what it's limited to, but I don't think so. I think he's been kind of nominated to be the point man. He and a fellow by the name of... I believe it's Jason Greenblatt, another Jewish man, I think are the two guys who are going to try to, at least in some opening stages here, draft a deal. And my concern is that the Trump administration could be fooled that Mahmoud Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority, actually wants a deal. And that's where everything breaks down, because Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinians, the Hamas terrorists, Hezbollah in Lebanon, none of these people want any kind of peace in the region.
Right.
They want war. That's all they can think about, and then the ultimate destruction of Israel. So the whole premise is off base. There's no such thing as peace until the Prince of Peace rules and reigns there.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Jan Markell, our guest, she's host of Understanding the Times Radio, heard weekends noon. What time's your show air on Saturday and Sunday on our network?
Yeah, and 1 p.m. Saturday Central, 12 noon Sunday Central.
Jan, what do you think about the fact that our military shot down a Syrian warplane last week?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not a geopolitical strategist, but I think I have a feeling things are kind of... making a turn in the Middle East in the war against ISIS. I think Donald Trump, first of all, we're off of 8 years where we led from behind, and that clearly that kind of thinking and war strategy is over. And I think we're getting more and more involved, and I think all of us are not only curious but also concerned as to where this is leading. But Donald Trump is not a guy who's going to sit around and watch atrocities happen. So he's getting more involved, and I think we're going to see an acceleration. I think Mosul is about to be finished as far as the take back of Mosul, and now they're going to move on to Raqqa. This is all good news. The question is, who fills the void when ISIS is neutralized in the Middle East? Is it Russia? Is it America? I don't think we know, but somebody else is going to move in there to fill the void that ISIS will leave, because they have such a huge footprint right now, and they're probably, I think they're anticipating within a year they could be history, which would be wonderful news for those persecuted over there.
Well, now, if you believe the liberal media and the Democrats, you said who will fill the void, that Russia or will America? That, with Donald Trump in the White House, that's one and the same. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of redundant, isn't it? Because it'll be the Russians and the Americans joining together.
Well,
because the Russians have their man in the Oval Office.
Oh, I know. I mean, this is so ludicrous. This is so insane. I mean,
I know. You couldn't see my tongue firmly planted in my cheek when I was okay. You could. Okay,
I could absolutely. But you know, but what do you? How do you address? How do you address the insanity of what the left is up to today, and then the ultimate insanity that they've resorted to violence? So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never thought I'd live to see what I'm seeing today. I honestly did not. They have taken this to a new level.
Fred, you were mentioning earlier, speaking of what Jan's talking about here, that there are even some Democrats now who are saying we need to forget this Russia stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going anywhere. It's not helping. It's not working. We need to move on and talk about other issues that American people care about. Is that true?
Yeah, that's coming out of the Democrat loss in Georgia the other night. You know, Democrats are stepping back. They dumped over $30 million into that special election, the most in history for a House race, and they didn't get anything out of it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi this morning held a news conference, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and she says, I look at Georgia as a win for the Democrats. And, you know, Nancy, bless her heart.
Wow.
It's time for Nancy to go home to San Francisco. I think a lot of Democrats would agree with this. And, you know, enjoy being a grandma out there. Just sit back. And there are people like Democrats like Tim Ryan out of Ohio who, after the election in November, said, you know, we really need to look at leadership in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And he's speaking out again. Other Democrats, it's time for Nancy to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're in trouble because the Democrats have been saying in the last 48 hours, you've got a bunch of Democrats saying the people of America are fed up with the constant Russia stuff. This is not helping our economy. This is not giving people jobs.
Is this a Democrat that said this? One of the Democrats?
These are Democrats saying we need a new message. There was this Democrat from Massachusetts the other day. Seth is his first name. He was, we need a new message. But the anti-Trump stuff, everything's negative.
Yeah.
Anti-Trump,
right.
Russia stuff. We need to be out there telling the people we have a better idea to create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be out there telling people that they really need us for this, this, and this. But the Russia stuff is not working for the Democrats.
Yeah.
Four special elections now, Republicans have won them all. That's why President Donald Trump was in Iowa last night celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
He was celebrating. The crowd loved him.
Jan, you're going to say something?
No, just agreeing with Fred. All true.
Hey, Jan, speaking about anti-Trump network, on your website here, I was scrolling through looking at some news, and that's the website for your ministry is olivetreeviews.com or views.org. Can you give us the website there?
Yeah, olivetreeviews.org. I do post headlines on a daily basis for... I think headlines that are unique and help people understand the times a little bit better than other.
One of the top three is Soros spearheads anti-Trump network with $80 million. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I didn't write the article, but sure. I did post the article. So George Soros is financing to the tune of $80 million, as though we need another network who's going to be anti-Trump, since it. I mean, every media other than, you know, a couple of outlets and some conservative websites are already anti-Trump, but he's pouring $80 million into something else. Look, the left and the hyper-far left like Soros, they are on a mission. Their mission is to destroy conservatism, and right now to destroy Donald Trump, to the point where, I mean, we've had plays in the park where a mock person who's supposed to be President Trump is killed every night to standing ovations. This is how the American public have been worked into a frenzy over all of this. Things are at a dangerous level right now.
Jan, listen, thanks so much for your insights. Appreciate it. Look forward to your program this week. Who are you going to be interviewing on Saturday?
I'm going to be talking to Pastor J.D. Farag, a wonderful Calvary Chapel pastor who is of Arab heritage, who loves Israel and the Jews and loves eschatology or Bible prophecy. He'll be my guest for the hour.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
Talking to Jan Markell right there. She joins us on Thursdays. Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson Walker, Wesley Wildman, and Ray Pritchard. Ray, I want to ask you related to the you study Bible prophecy before, and I know maybe you're not consider yourself an expert in that area, but still, you know, the Russia is wanting to they've been in bed with the Assad regime in Syria. Syria is a country that borders Israel, just to the north.
Right.
But now Israel and Russia have had a fairly good relationship, I think, under Vladimir Putin. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's exactly right. That Putin is not interested in going to war against Israel right now. It just does not serve Russian interests at all. I think they're far more interested in what's happening in Syria and gaining the upper hand. I mean, Syria's a mess, right? It's a disaster, right? So it's awful what has happened in that country and awful the suffering. And Russia's hand in there is when all of this is over and when ISIS is defeated, they want to be the most influential power in Syria and that part of the Middle East.
To what end?
Well, you know, you got a triangulation between Russia up north, you got Iran to the east, you got Israel to the west. They want to keep the United States from being the most powerful player in the Middle East. And so behind all these other forces, there's the U.S. over here and Russia over there, and they are playing their cards so that when all this is over, you know, they're going to have ports, they're going to have ways to get oil into their country, it's going to be economically good for them, and it's also a buffer zone. Russia has always wanted a buffer zone around their country, and by having the upper hand when the Syrian conflict is over, that they think that'll help them.
The interesting thing here, though, Fred, is, Russia is involved with Syria. The Assad administration regime, if you want to call it, is brutal. They're in a civil war in their own country. To me, it's unclear who they're fighting exactly and what the values are of the people that they're fighting, the so-called rebels, which is part of the reason why we haven't done a whole lot there. I think it's, you know, you don't want to end up supporting, you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out who the worse and the worsers are, so to speak.
Well, the bad guys don't wear uniforms.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right.
You've got the rebels, and the concern has been that some of these rebels cross over with ISIS because the rebels want to get rid of Assad.
Do they want freedom or they want the caliphate?
Well,
talking about the rebels.
The rebels want to get rid of Assad because he's brutal. I mean, some of these are, and I hesitate to describe it this, but they're good people. They just want what we would want, freedom in their country. And Assad has not allowed that. I mean, Assad turned chemical weapons on his own people.
Right.
So what happened the other day was the reason we shot down that Syrian jet is because it was coming in to do an attack on some of the rebels that we are supporting. That was the reason. So
is this something new under the Trump administration or the Obama administration?
No, this is the kind of thing that they've been working on, and it goes to what you were saying about that. You know, we're not part of a group that has a uniform that we know. Okay, that person is a good rebel over here, but we have isolated ourselves in a small area, kind of geographical area where we can support the rebels and has a base operation to deal with ISIS.
If we support the rebels, then we're fighting Russia.
Yeah, and that has been part of the concern because, as you say, Russia's lined up with Assad. We're lined up with the rebels.
And independent of all that is ISIS.
And both sides want to get rid of ISIS.
Right, and ISIS is over here in Syria and Iraq. Mm-hmm. It's a mess, as they say.
Well, and you also have Iran. They are working really hard to gain control or maintain control in eastern Syria.
Yeah.
So that just adds another level of volatility.
What's Turkey's role here, Ray?
Well, they're trying to protect their territory. They're trying to keep, you know, the Kurds. We haven't even mentioned the Kurds. They're up north. They've been wanting their own sovereign country and haven't been able to get it. So the Kurds and the Turks are fighting against each other. It's a witch's brew. It's a mess over there.
Yeah. And America is supporting the Kurds, and Turkey is upset with America over that.
That's right.
Right, right. In as much as possible, we just need to keep our noses out of that situation. I just say that because oftentimes it's hard to figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are ultimately. Mm-hmm. And we'll see.
It's a complex mess.
That's why it bothers me when we sell all that military equipment to Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Now,
you're not the only one bothered by that.
Saudi Arabia's been a friend of ours for a long time, but what if they turned the tables on us? They got the Wahhabi sect of Islam that's dominant in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
they hate America. They hate
most of the 9/11.
Yeah,
terrorists.
And you know,
came
we're giving
Saudi
them,
Arabia, right?
Do what now, Ray?
You know, most of them, as Fred was saying, came from Saudi Arabia, and we didn't do anything about that. We couldn't.
No.
Well, if Saudi Arabia ever got in a war with Israel, they'd be fighting with American jets.
Exactly right.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. But on the other hand, you got Iran over there, and they hate the Saudis because they're different branches of Islam. Well, one of them's a Sunni and the other was Shia. So Iran and Saudi Arabia hate each other, which is back to the witch's brew, the scenario that Ray talked about. Then you got, anybody want to put this jigsaw puzzle together? Then you got, now you got Saudi Arabia, who have become more friendly with Israel, which is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they're both concerned about Iran and ISIS. So,
and now the Saudis are upset with Qatar.
Qatar or Qatar?
Qatar.
Qatar.
QA.
Welcome back.
Qatar. Qatar.
Okay.
Because they're believed to be having alliances with Iran.
Well, we got a couple minutes before we get to our break here. So
you got this all figured out, Weston? I'll send you over there.
I was going to wrap this up for – no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to comment on that, but I want to bring us over to our AFR or Today's Issues Facebook page, on our Facebook page. Something that I was trying not to laugh out loud while y'all are talking as if I was mocking y'all. But
we were serious.
Stan,
we're talking about serious Colbert, stuff over here.
Stan Colbert says, Nancy is the best tool that the GOP has. Keep her in Congress.
Well, that's Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich was on Fox and Friends this morning, and you know they're having this debate. Should Nancy go? And Newt Gingrich said, No,
keep her there.
Keep Nancy there as long. Prop her up for the next 10 years.
I agree. She's the best thing the Republicans have going for the next election cycle. But in all truthfulness, she should go home to San Francisco. She's not with it anymore.
So you're saying that our Stan Colbert should have his own Colbert comedian show, but conservative.
That was a good joke.
Yeah,
but I mean, she obviously, if you've watched her the last year or so, she half time she doesn't even know where she is. It doesn't seem like to me, and she's talking about President Bush, and things like that. What I'm saying is Nancy Pelosi has past her prime. But you know, for a lot of people who have power like that, and this is Republicans and Democrats alike,
right?
They don't know when to hang it up.
That's right.
You know, when you're in your 70s and you've been in Washington for 30 or 40 years and you're going to run again?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to live forever. And if you've not done what you wanted to do in 40 years in Washington, then you need to come on back to learn where you came from. Anyway, all right, we'll be back after this news break in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.